Okay. That's it, Clyde Lewis. Hello. All right. It is 38 seconds after the hour of 12, and this, the month of August, to the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming by, making a part of your listening day. Live from a plushly appointed and now apparently completely unheated studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson Radio Show, where everyone is in a fine mood, glad to be here, ready to work. There's no one here who'd rather be doing anything else. Everyone here sparkles today with enthusiasm for
There's
doing a
no
radio
global
program.
Global warming in this room.
All right. Hello, it's 503. Hell is the number. I almost gave him my cell phone number. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email today, apparently to engage. What the hell is with this microphone cord? If you'd like to email today, it's rick@rickemerson.com. Yeah, Alan's with his new studio. rick@rickemerson.com. You can also find us on myriad MySpace pages, like the rest of the mindless herd. MySpace.com/... Rick Emerson, The Rick Emerson Show, Sarah X. Dillon, blah, blah, blah. You go to rickemerson.com. There's a whole list of links down the left side, a whole list of links down the right side. 503-733-2970 is the phone number to bring you into the studio today via the electronic phone system that we have here and so forth. All right, in just a moment, we will bring on the official stenographer, Mailman Chris. We'll tally up the things that we're going to attempt to get to today. Later on, we will find out which of those things got into, which of those things not gotten into. Here's the thing about the studio, is that we're no longer allowed to complain about the temperature in any way. And I was sort of making this observation casually yesterday, but even yesterday, I don't think we really appreciated the true frigidity that was going to ensue once they actually opened the air conditioning vents in the ceiling. I get the feeling that cooling or heating the air in this facility is, it's sort of like steering a barge. There really is no happy middle. It's either 114 degrees or, as today, it's 55 degrees. Jim just revealed yesterday during the program he had all the hair on his arms was constantly standing up, and he had goosebumps all the way through the broadcast. Sarah Dillon, we're not even 5 minutes into the program, and Sarah's sitting over there doing that, like, rubbing your arms for warmth thing that you see people... Like, we're gonna find you like that frozen guy in the Andes, the huddled over for warmth guy with the arrowhead in his skull. They won't find you in any sort of heroic pose. It's me all crouched over trying to conserve your own body heat. That's how archaeologists will discover you in the future. All right, do I have the sounder? All right. It's 503-733-2970. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson program, and I have a brand new sounder for him. Wait, hold on, let me get the...
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
There you go. Thank you. Fantastic. Mailman Chris, who joins us now on the Rick Emerson Show. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good.
That's the Rick Emerson method. You send us a song, and then we add our own little twist to it. That was actually listener Eric who created that. I believe, now I'm not entirely positive about this, but I do believe that the sound effects at the end of that, let's listen one more time.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Death. I do believe that those sound effects come from the video game Black, but I'm not entirely sure about that. All right, how are you today?
Good.
All right, are you delivering mail today, or is today one of your sitting around and cleaning your toenails days?
Nope, that's tomorrow.
All right, fantastic. All right, so here we go. This is a list of things we're going to attempt to get to today. Now, we have zombie news, and it's a zombie... By the way, Tim had the following response yesterday when I pulled the zombie news story. I came into Tim's news area where he was prepping, and I said, hey, we've got zombie news from Cambodia. And Tim didn't even make eye contact, didn't even look up from his computer. He just said, well, it's about time, and then, like, went on angrily typing. So we have... I see now that Scotty has created a zombie sounder. It says Zombie Watch. I have not heard this. I don't know what the zombie... I don't know how long it is. I'm presuming it goes on for 8 or 9 hours. I don't know what it contains. So we'll get to the zombie news today. We're all going to die. And we'll tell you why later on. Week in Geek today, which is now 4 days out of date. But only 2 of those days are my fault. It's because Aaron didn't get it to me. He was like 48 hours even late even creating the thing. Rockstar Recap will talk about the double boot that happened last night. Top five rock and roll screams, and Tim Riley as the Eskimo. And I believe that's it. Also some CNN folks. I think 8 or 9 of them. So have you got all of that?
Yes, I do. I've got, some CNN folks. You always get all of them.
Yes.
Zombie news, we're all going to die. Week in Geek, Rockstar Recap, and Top 5 Screams and Tim's Eskimo commercial.
Yes. Let me ask you this. Have you gotten any blowback, as they say, any sort of flack about the giant boob that you've been delivering on the front of those magazines, whatever that magazine is?
No, that was like 3 weeks ago.
Suckling Monthly or whatever it is.
We've moved on from the boob.
Oh, I haven't. I'm going to stay there forever. I pulled the actual story. It's somewhere in the news pile about this parenting magazine. Is it possible that there's an entire magazine about breastfeeding?
It's possible.
All right.
Believe me, with some of the stuff I deliver, it's completely possible.
Now, let me ask you this. You deliver, how do I put this? You deliver any amount of adult material, I would imagine.
Well, you can't always...
Listen to that. You can't always tell. You try to spot it, don't you?
Well, you know when something's wrapped in black plastic, you know what it generally is.
Black plastic is Playboy magazine. Now, for instance, there's like a Hustler, do you think, coming wrapped in black plastic?
Yep, and so does Penthouse.
Really?
Yeah, and they have their earmarkings, like Penthouse says PH in the corner, and Hustler says LFP, Larry Flynn Publications.
Let me ask you this. Is there an actual dead letter office, and if so, is it just letters or is it large packages as well?
I'm sure there is. I have no idea where it is. I've other than what I read in that book by, what's his name, Clive Barker.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've read the book. There's a great... I had a story about the dead letter office. But.
All right. We have to do a field trip or something at some point. All right. We will check in with you at the end of the day's program. At the last time we tallied this, how many push-ups do I owe to the Sarah Dillon Collective?
42.
Thank you. That's special points for the deep thought pronunciation of 42. All right. Thank you, sir.
Talk to you later.
All right. There you go. That's my... Wait, let me find the... Hello. Hello. Sadly, we've lost him. All right, it's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented, spry and happy Sarah Dillon. How are you?
I am happy.
Are you?
Uh-huh.
Are you?
I'm better.
Are you?
Yes.
You're not really, are you?
I am.
Okay.
No, I'm okay. This week I've been a little...
Sarah was grumpily complaining to me before the program today.
I'm not complaining.
Now, see, here's the thing.
You call me your producer, and I try to produce, and all you do is just, like, say that I'm in a bad mood.
You do produce.
No, every time I try to, like, put some... Yeah, every time
whining.
I try to kind of... Watch it, mister.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
I need an apology right now.
That's what I'm saying. See, normally Sarah Dillon would just accept that, and we'd accept that as part of the edgy and dark humor that propels this show forward. Today, you're taking everything personally. That's all I'm saying. It's one of those days. I've learned we have to address these things early on.
Are you sorry?
For what?
For just saying that I'm whining?
Not whining. Whining is an incorrect characterization of a situation. How would you describe
it? My concern was... Well, anytime that if something isn't going the way that you think it should be going, someone's whining or complaining.
Yes, that is true.
So... What I'm saying is that Tim hasn't gotten to any of his watches this week, and you keep booking more and more CNN correspondents, and they're taking up literally over an hour of the entire show, which is wonderful, because I know you're all stoked about CNN, but we never get to any of
your stuff. You just did quote marks in the air when you said wonderful. You said, that's wonderful. Now, that's not true. It's unfair to say that Tim hasn't gotten any watches. That's not true.
Well, it's not even any watches. He'll get to one story before we go off on some tangent, and that's it. And just these stories keep on piling up, and we keep getting more CNN correspondents.
Tim hasn't said
anything. This is my assessment.
I'm just sitting out here in the audience, watching the curtain being pulled back.
All right. Well,
trying to figure out if you're a good wizard or a mean wizard.
Here's the thing, though.
I was trying to figure out how we could try to conserve more time, and instead I'm whiny and grumpy.
I'm not sure. Well, you are not whiny.
Time management.
I would say that you're a little grumpy, though. In fact, I believe you made that observation to Laura Caviezel this morning when I was over here just typing away. I think you were talking to her. You mentioned the letters SP and M. Not in that order.
3PS?
PM?
PSM?
Not in that order.
Mup?
Here's Tim Riley working on the following stories for you today. Stories we will get to one by one until we're completely finished with all of them.
There's worldwide airport pandemonium as a terrorist plot is foiled in London. Long lines and short tempers follow strict new rules put into effect this morning. No liquids, no shampoos, lipstick being pulled out of the hands of angry women.
No.
You don't throw mama's lipstick away.
Yep, it's happening.
That's MAC lipstick.
Britain bans books and iPods from flights. This sounds like something out of Beef and Vendetta, doesn't it?
Which I just watched again last night, by the way.
No books and iPods on British flights. TriMet, their renting cops linger to maxis for terrorists and find none so far.
Okay. There you go. It's 503-733-2970.
I do feel better getting that out.
See, because you can't, we've learned this because...
Well, don't call me names and whiny.
You see, you're still taking it very personally. You see, I think that the Sarah Dillon who sits here most days out of the month would just let that roll off. It's just one of those things that Rick says.
I give you a lot of respect, but you know I'm sitting here trying to...
I think we all know that's not true.
Off the air, I give you a lot of respect.
I'm not saying you're whining, but I'm saying that, look, it takes a lot of time to break down the will of Bob Costantini. That doesn't happen overnight.
And I'm just saying, I know that your relationship with your CNN correspondents is very exciting for you. Very exciting for you.
Uh-huh. Are you saying it's exciting for no one else?
I'm just saying that's when I check my MySpace.
Yeah, well, okay.
I'm just kidding, no. I really think that we've been giving Tim the slight a little bit.
Well,
lately.
No, that's fine.
I don't know the... Like, Tim is always... No, it's okay. Tim is sort of the long-suffering Catholic in the corner. No, that's okay. I don't need pleasure or happiness in any way. I do agree that the program seems to be... It's not that we don't get to anything. No. I think that's a mischaracterization. I think we get to a whole lot of things. I just think that we always have so much more stuff in the queue than we can ever possibly accomplish in one day. That no matter, I mean, it's like if it wasn't this, it would be something else. I think if we didn't, you know what I mean? We have so much stuff prepared every single day that I don't know that there's any way. Sarah's blowing on her hands for warmth. It's so difficult to be serious when you're up there. Jesus, you feel like a corpse. I think you've actually got rigor mortis.
I'm sorry, I'll try not to be grumpy.
It's okay. No, I'm not. It's fine. I mean, I understand. We all have our moods. Sarah, grumpy Sarah is still Sarah, so that's fine with us. I'm just saying, it's not a conscious attempt to minimize Tim or the other guests or anything.
Exactly is this news going to go?
I'm just saying that somebody made the same observation about Jen Lane. They said that they thought that we were shrinking down Jen Lane's segment at the expense of other things. It has nothing to do with that. It's just that this show, really, our only excuse is to try to jam more stuff into 3 hours or just to have like a 9-hour show, which I know that we tease about sometimes, but which I think we all know is really a bad idea.
Bad idea.
So, all right. Let's see. This is Jim. Hello, Jim. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Yeah, hi. I just had a suggestion for Sarah there.
This is going to end. Wait, let me get that. Let me get the phone disconnect thing all queued up. Okay, go.
What? Well, it seems to me that, you know, she has the trigger. All she had to do was pull it, you know, call out 20 push-ups, and then, you know, Tim should have plenty of time to get some new stories.
That is a good idea.
While I'm grunting away in the background.
I figure that, you know, 20 push-ups is going to be at least, you know, a good half hour, 45 minutes, right?
Yes. Thank you, sir. I appreciate that. Oh, wait. No. Oh, no.
Oh,
no. I lost the call. No, sorry. Awesome. I'm going to give you an aneurysm. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's now go to the city desk with your personal savior, Tim Riley.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour. And now, from the city desk, Tim Riley.
From high atop the bottom of the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon, CBS presents the city desk news beat, Tim Riley reporting. Our top story, complete disaster and chaos at airports everywhere. As growing lines of irritated passengers snake through airports today, as people waited hours to reach security checkpoints where they were ordered to dump their water bottles, suntan lotion, toothpaste, and yes, even lipstick into a trash bin, all because of alleged terrorists in Britain. President Bush made his first comments concerning the terror plot foiled by the British authorities.
I want that song in the blacklist.
The recent arrests are a stark reminder that this nation is at war with Islamic fascists who will use any means to destroy those of us who love freedom.
So the arrests of somebody on a different... Yes. The arrests of somebody on a different continent are proof that this continent is at war.
Yes.
Okay.
Scotland Yard says it has broken up
Scotland
the plot.
Scotland Yard. Is there an actual Scotland Yard?
Yes, there is.
Really? Is it an actual place that you can go and see?
Or well, it's not like a yard with swings. When they... I mean...
It's right next to Creston Park. Is no, I wondered if when they say Scotland Yard,
yes,
if that's like when they say the Fourth Estate,
right,
to refer to the media.
Or calling it Hollywood.
Yeah, it's just like a fictitious...
movie stars really don't live in Hollywood.
I thought maybe it was just like a catch-all term for a thing that didn't really exist.
No, there is a Scotland Yard.
Really? And the guys...
It's actually the new Scotland Yard, not the original one.
All right.
Well, anyway, Peter Clark, the head of the anti-terrorist branch of Scotland Yard, said the explosives were to be built in Britain and taken through British airports.
The plot was in existence to blow up a transatlantic passenger aircraft in flight. The intelligence suggested that this was to be achieved by means of concealed explosive devices smuggled onto the aircraft in hand baggage.
Here's why this doesn't...
What we need is strength through unity.
Unity through faith. England prevails. England prevails! The man, I watched that again last night. I know I've made that observation
no
before,
better
but
time than today to watch it again.
Seriously, well, because here's the thing about V for Vendetta, and I know that it almost sounds like we're getting paid to flack for this movie. That's not the case. It's just that it underperformed at the box office. It didn't. All my favorite films fail. All of them. I was just talking to a fat boy at KUFO about Brick, which we're both big fans of, and it's seen by like four people. Same thing with V for Vendetta. And you think, I mean, it's got such a great cast. It's got Natalie Portman. I know she can't really open a movie, but people know who she is. It's got the, what's his guts? Mr. Anderson, that guy, as the V, as, you know, as V. It's from the Wachowskis, sort of, who did The Matrix. You think it's going to be a huge hit. But, you know, you watch that movie and you realize two things. One, and I made this observation yesterday, which is V for Vendetta could never have been released if it took place in America. And B, that Americans are deeply, deeply stupid. Which is the only reason I can think of for that movie not being a huge hit. Because I'm not going to say it's flawless. It's just some things about it that I would change. It's a little lengthy, in my opinion. And some of the action sequences could have been cut. Like that whole business at the end. Of him twirling the knives and killing like the 15 guys in slow motion before he kills Chris. It's okay.
I like that.
It's okay. It just felt a little gratuitous. It felt a little like, well, we need action for the kids here. So it's not a flawless movie, but I give it like a solid 9 out of 10.
Yes.
But I showed it to Lara last night, and you know the best thing about that movie, I think, is showing it to someone who's never seen it before. Mm-hmm. Especially someone like Lara, who's got kind of a culture jamming anarchist streak to her anyway. You know, in as much as, you know, any white government employee in Portland really can. But we watched it, and at the end of the movie, and I won't ruin it, but you know, that final sequence, it really does hit you that you're seeing this in a major motion picture, that final sequence of V for Vendetta, and you realize what you are seeing and what they're showing on screen as a heroic act, and you just can't even fathom it. And she said exactly the same thing. She's like, there's no way they ever could have made this set in America. I almost wish, that in some parallel universe, that the Wachowskis had tried to put out a V for Vendetta that took place in Washington, D.C., just to see what the public reaction would have been. I mean, they would have been lynched. They would have been taken out and hung from a yardarm and burned. It almost would have been worth it, because the movie would have been even more gripping and powerful. But, anyway. But here's why this terrorism thing doesn't concern me. Here's why it doesn't bother me. Because they caught these guys where? In Britain?
Yes.
Well, that's the thing. They caught them. They did that. I mean, that... It's the same reason like when they say, well, look, police caught a guy downtown who was thinking about breaking into a car. I'm no longer worried. Why? They caught the guy. What worries me is when a car is broken into and they have no idea who did it and they didn't catch him. That's what unnerves me. It doesn't unnerve me. There's always guys out there plotting to gum up the works. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not trying to say that I'm not trying to make light of it or be flip about it. But some guys are planning to blow some stuff up. The cops catch them, you know, and then they put them in a cell and beat them. That's fine. Whatever. Problem solved. It's like all those guys when the Millennium Celebration happened. I mean, do you honestly think that there weren't terrorist cells out there? And I'm not trying to be alarmist about it, but there's always guys out there looking to be a monkey in the wrench, fly in the ointment. So there were no terrorist attacks. There were no bombs. There were no whatever on the Millennium Celebration, so-called, the year 2000. It's not because nobody was planning on doing it. It's because, we found out about it, and we went and we whacked him on the head. So it's what we do. It doesn't unnerve me.
Meanwhile, more terror. A worker at
Reagan National Airport instructs passengers in security lines.
Lotion comes out, toothpaste, mouthwash.
Mouthwash. Yeah, okay. New terror secret weapon. Scope.
Right. Meanwhile, British... subjects are having a hard time getting home, including Isabella Harding, waiting in line at Reagan National Airport.
I'm appalled that people do what they do and that the situation of the world is so terrible.
Who is that?
A British tourist.
I'm appalled that people do what they do and that the situation of the world is so terrible.
Man, you really do wish that there was some alternate means of travel, just because there's no... That's the most frustrating thing when you're aligned with those puny brain minimum wage with a gun idiots at the airport, and I mean every syllable of that sentence, is that there's no... You have no recourse. That's the really frustrating thing about it. You're sitting there, and this is a common complaint and lament for me, and it's one of those things that I forget about. It's sort of like, what is that drug they give women when they're in childbirth? Scopolamine or whatever it is. And the deal is, because you always hear women say in childbirth, and I do have a point here, something very big through something very small. But they always say that women, it hurts, but then they forget about it afterwards. And as I understand it, that is actually the effect of a common drug that they give you called scopolamine, which is a drug, which has the bizarre effect of actually making you forget pain after the fact. That's how it is when I go to the airport. I will go to the, even when I'm, like, you can no longer even get close enough to meet somebody at the gate, right? Isn't that the case?
Right.
Because they stop you, you know, like, you used to be able to, you kids won't remember this. You used to be able to go and walk right up and meet somebody as they walked off the plane, walked across the tarmac, right through the door, and you'd do the big hug, and then the music would swell in the background, and then the credits would roll because Hugh Grant got the girlfriend back. Now you can't do that. You wait right there by the thing where they give you the wanding and the groping and the patting and the so forth. But I go through there, and it's like I've managed to forget about it. I've suppressed it like a bad clergy groping. And then I get there, and it all comes flooding back that I have to take off my shoes for these goddamned idiots that have no idea what they're looking for. You couldn't find their ass, two hands and a map. And then they're sitting there rooting around in my bag like they're gonna thwart criminal masterminds or something. Some guy couldn't get a job at an Arby's. He's sitting there rooting around in my bag looking for a thermonuclear device. Not gonna happen. Never gonna work. And it just, it makes you so angry. And what makes you, the thing that makes you even angrier is your sure and certain realization that there's nothing you can do. It's not like a regular business where you can just threaten to boycott and take your money elsewhere. It's an airplane. You can't take a train everywhere.
They'll take you to a back room and yank out your fingernails.
Yes.
Make you disappear for a while.
You will be disappeared, as they say in Ireland. That's the thing. You can't. What am I going to do? Every time I need to go to Buffalo, I'm going to drive. You have to take a plane. You are forced into. There is no alternate means, and there is no adequate way. There's nothing that infuriates me. Let me rephrase this. I was going to say there's nothing that infuriates me more than impotence. There is nothing that makes me angrier than just. But that's like that helpless frustration that you have no way to express. And that is the airport security experience is emblematic of that. You're sitting there just seething, and with everything in you, you just want to make Mr. Hand and Mr. Fist and give that guy a bunch of fives. You know, and I realize that he's not the enemy. I realize he's there doing a job, and they're trying to stop crime, and they're doing whatever, but it doesn't work. It's never worked. It's never going to work. It's just the bad guys are gonna slip through occasionally. They're going to do bad things because they're spending 80% of their effort patting down a 90-year-old grandmother. The whole thing is pointless.
Well, you know, the pot-bellied boomers fit into the uniform.
Well, that's exactly. Well, and you know, so you're saying about taking you in the back room, you know that when you, and this is not a conspiracy theory, you know that when you're in line at the airport, mm-hmm. that they're, one out of every 15 people, they just yank you into a back room somewhere and they strip search you. Did that happen to you?
Pretty close. I was taken in the back room in Canada at the Amtrak station.
Oh.
Because I was traveling by myself with a backpack, and they kept bringing the dog next to me, but the dog kept pulling it away, and they said, the dog has a lot of interest in your bag. The dog had no interest in my bag. The dog kept walking the other way. They pulled the dog toward my bag like five times, and you know, so yeah. they pulled me into the back room.
Man, my friend
We're
Tammy.
We're going to call your government right now.
My friend Tammy, man, she was in line in Salt Lake, where, of course, in Salt Lake, civil liberties are just sort of a theory anyway. They don't, you know, they're dealt with sort of lightly there anyway. But Tammy was in line at Salt Lake City International Airport, and they literally strip searched her for no reason. No reason. I mean, she's just, you know, she's a fat, homely white girl from Salt Lake, like all of them. She's there, just standing in line, doing nothing. Like everybody in Salt Lake. Just a large person in bad, ill-fitting clothing from Banana Republic. And they took her in the back, and they literally had a woman come in, and she had to undress all the way down, you know. She was and it, well, you can go look at. You go to the Portland airport right now, and you can see that little curtain, that little screen. It looks like one of those Chinese or Japanese, whatever it is. One of those, you know, but one of those. It looks like one of those rice paper walls that they have in the Asian films. There's one of those, sort of a cloth, one of those at PDX, and that is so they can yank people behind there and have you take down your pants, have you take off your shirt if they ask you to do it for, you know, again, no readily definable reason. And the way that you know it, that it's for no reason, is that airports don't even have the same security measures from state to state. I've talked about this before. Fly from here to Vegas or here to L.A. They will make you take off your shoes here, but not in Nevada. They will make you take off your belt in California, but not in Utah. No sense, no unanimity. There's no standardization to it. The whole thing is goddamn pointless.
Yep. Speaking of that, Heather Humidity is upset about losing her lipstick, among other things.
Well, I guess. What can you do? You know, you have like 100,000 irritated people, so you try to smile so they'll let you go through and then hope that the plane doesn't leave without you. I guess, you know, I'll get to Atlanta looking like a hag, but happy and safe.
Well, at least she's zen with it. Max.
She may be a hag, but she's happy and safe.
Max, you're on the Rick, but there's bread and circuses. Max, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Rick, how you doing, man?
What's up, brother?
Nothing much, man. Have you heard of V for Vendetta comic books from Vertigo Comics?
I haven't. I know Aaron's got it, and he kind of wants me to read it. He's mentioned it before, and I have not. It's by the guy who did Watchmen, right, Alan Moore?
Yeah, he also did From Hell. Anyways, he had nothing to do with the movie. He sold his rights to both From Hell and the movie, and, like, he was kind of disgusted that his comics weren't made into movies in the first place.
Yeah, I heard that's kind of his shtick, though, is, like, selling the rights to the movie and then bitching about it.
Oh, God.
And he's gone.
Meanwhile,
okay.
Passengers at Arlington International Airport in Vermont have had to leave their maple syrup behind. In New Orleans, half-used bottles of New Orleans hot sauce lay in garbage bins. Bottle of wine sit in the trash in San Francisco, south of wine country.
Is it, what is it exactly? Did they think that you're going to,
mix something together and blow things
up? Okay, they're gonna baste someone to death? Is that what that is?
Yes.
No, he was the victim of a fierce and unprovoked marination. All right, we should break here. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, is this Bob Costantini we're gonna be talking to?
We have more things to scare you with.
We're all going to die.
It's all because of people who don't love freedom as we do.
Yes.
Steps must be taken now. Remove all your clothes.
See, that's the sort of give and take Martin and Lewis scare tactic levity that makes the Rick Emerson Show so fantastic. Attention men 18 to 34. More of this wackiness when we continue. Bob Costantini on the way. Jim Roop. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Show. Your little red wagon. Hey, it's the Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. Coming up later on, CNN radio correspondents Jim Roop, also Gary Baumgarten, and so forth. Also top five rock and roll screams today, and we'll do a little recap of last night's Rockstar Supernova. There's, by my count, there's now only, let's see, eight, so what, three, so there's six episodes left. That's by my calculation. So we'll talk about last night's Rockstar Supernova, where they kicked off not one, but two people. We'll also get to Steve here in a moment. First, let us now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent and man about town, Bob Costantini. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much, Rick. Always a pleasure.
How goes? See, you're back to being serious. I can hear it in your voice.
Yes.
You've got that crisp yet warm timbre that implies that you are professional, and you are here to provide the news in an objective and unbiased fashion, Bob.
I try.
Okay. Well, let's talk about this. Everybody knows about this big story about the British police. They thwarted what they say was this plot to blow up an airliner. There was somebody that was flying between Britain and the United States. So is it, we've just heard these sound bites all morning about how there's women in line who are having to toss away their makeup and guys who are having to dump out their Gatorade for fear that they're apparently, you know, they don't want people smuggling in hand grenades in their lipstick or something. What was the nature of the plot? How did they find out about it? What's going on right now?
Well, let me cut right to that chase, really. A senior congressional source is telling CNN it's believed the plotters were to mix a, quote, British version of Gatorade with a gel-like substance. That's as detailed as they wanted to get, needless to say, without revealing the idea of creating a bomb. The source said they may have planned to use an iPod-type device or a cell phone to trigger the explosives in mid-flight. And it's believed that they were after perhaps 10 airplanes simultaneously en route from Britain to the United States using these liquid explosives that would have heretofore been overlooked by x-rays as, you know, as being harmless.
Well, I mean, in Britain, do they do the thing of making you drink a liquid that you're going to take on? Because there was actually here in Portland, there was a pretty a big news story that happened shortly after 9/11 where, and just as Sarah's digging into her lunch, where a woman was forced to drink her own breast milk in line. I'm saying it's a true story, because they do that with, they make you do that with anything that is liquid. Now, do they not do that in Britain?
I'm not really sure about how they do it in Britain, but one can assume that heretofore they were going to just allow whatever kind of drink you wanted to bring on board in a carry-on luggage, you know, they would have allowed it. And they're making it very clear here in the United States that baby formula and breast milk are two things that will be allowed onto airplanes. Otherwise, you will not be able to, you know, bring your Gatorade or just a bottle of water, as innocuous as it might seem. Right now, when we're in this code red for airlines.
Is it true that CNN is actually telling people not to turn on their cell phones because you might blow something up if it's within 50 feet of you?
I've not seen that.
I don't know if it's true or not, and grain of salt time, that was on Drudge this morning, but he did attribute that to CNN.
I couldn't tell you, but again, you know, one senior congressional source is telling CNN, that they may have tried to trigger these explosives with a cell phone. They've made 24 arrests in Great Britain, and late word is that some arrests are also now being made in Pakistan. All 24 of the men arrested in the UK are believed to be Pakistani ethnics who may very well have been born in Britain, though.
Now, is this kind of like, I mean, how do they know how far along the plot was? This is going to be like that thing that was in Florida a couple weeks ago where it's just some guys who were subscribing to Guns and Ammo magazine, right? Do they know that if they were very far along towards getting this done?
No, they believe that this was in its final stages and, quote, well advanced. That's what U.S. Homeland Secretary Michael Chertoff said today at his news conference, and it was, quote, suggestive of an al-Qaeda plot. Now, a lot of speculation has gone on to the idea that, well, we're coming up on the fifth anniversary of September 11, and, you know, that certainly wouldn't necessarily be a coincidence that we are, you know, obviously that close to it. And they believe that this plot was that far along.
See, here's the thing about this, and I'm not trying to be fatalistic or pessimistic, but we were talking about this earlier that, I mean, these guys who work at the airport security, and I know a lot of people see them as an easy target for ridicule and scorn, but come on, these are people, a lot of times, are people who can't get a job at a Woolworths. And so they're there working at the airport, given undertrained and either under or overpaid, but in all circumstances, it doesn't really seem like they're up to the task, if only because this is a constant, it's like the war between, you know, your tech guy at the office and some kid at home who wants to hack into your work computer to, you know, to look for porn. There's always just this escalating arms race on either side, and it seems like if we are honestly, seriously at the point of telling women they have to throw away their lipstick, it seems like unless they really just want to strip people and everybody's going to sit in their chair nude on the plane wrapped in some kind of foil, there really is no winning at the end of this.
Well, I feel compelled to point out to you that Woolworth is out of business.
So. Well, there you go. That's why all those people are on the market, my friend.
But ever since September 11th, when the Transportation Security Administration was created, the people who check luggage and who man the checkpoints are supposed to be more professionally trained. Of course, before that, it was done by people who were hired at private security firms, by and large, by the airlines. This gave a federal government stamp to the people who do man the checkpoints. But there is a lot of turnover. That's one of the things we do hear about it. There's a lot of turnover, and the pay isn't necessarily all that great. And, you know, there are openings right now in just about any airport, from what we are told, in terms of the Transportation Security Administration checkpoint people.
I really should just find a chimpanzee, literally, like an actual chimpanzee, and send it down and see if it could get a job as airport security. I'm betting the odds are like 1 in 3 that I could get that done.
You can give that a try if you'd like.
See?
Station will let you.
Okay, see, I can hear you retreating back into the Rick as Bob Costantini, representative of CNN. I cannot comment on the chimpanzee joke. All right. Bob, well, we'll talk to you more, I'm sure, as this unfolds. In the meantime,
yep.
Stay safe, my friend. We will talk to you soon.
Nothing about August has been quiet, Rick. Thank you.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Is Bob Costantini, CNN radio correspondent. All right, there you go. You know what's interesting about this, though, is that airport... I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because, Tim, you have more experience, for like, you're a little bit older than the rest of us, since you are now 39.
Yes.
Is that what we agreed on?
Yes, we did. Yes.
No,
37.
No, 37.
I'm
37.
Sorry. Because you are now... I'm sorry. Because you are now...
I have to be younger than Scotty.
Because... I don't know that that's difficult. Because you are now 37.
Yes.
And have flown for many years. Yes. This airport security, though, is a pretty recent development, is it not?
Yeah.
I mean, you watch those old films, even from the 70s, where guys are like walking right up and they're like rifling through there. I got $15 in change here. Could I get a ticket to Chicago? Mm-hmm. And they just hand you the ticket and you walk right on. So is there any explanation? I should have asked Bob this. What is the explanation for the fact that there weren't planes blowing up every year all the way through the 50s, 60s, and 70s?
There were hijackings, if you remember. Hijackings to Cuba?
As soon as they just started taking guns away from people, I guess that did. Well, maybe that's the beginning of the whole arms race between the two. Who knows? Let's see. This is Steve. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, Steve.
Hello. How are you, Rick?
I'm fine, Steve. How can I assist you today?
You know, I just wanted to put you something and finally say thank you for somebody saying what you've said. It's like, you know, when 9/11 happened, all of a sudden, okay, look for box cutters and, plastic knives, right?
Right.
The shoe bomber, you know. Never occurred to anybody that somebody could put a bomb in a shoe until Maxwell Smart was doing it in the 60s. But, then all of a sudden, we had to take our shoes off because this one guy did this. And of course, now, knee-jerk reaction, pour out your drinks and give up your lipstick.
Well, that's just retarded, is what that is. Especially because, look, and I know that one isn't supposed to say this. I know that this isn't a thing that you're supposed to say out loud, but let's be honest. When the last time was at an airport, and I was serious about this, when I saw like some 85-year-old grandmother being taken to the back and wanded down, taken off her shoes, she's not an Islamic fundamentalist. She's just not, and everyone knows that. So
it's ridiculous.
Yes.
And I want to understand your comment that there's no uniformity.
Yeah. No, it's true. Oh, no, we're losing the call. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry.
You are so abusing that.
I'm sorry, Steve, we lost your call. No, it's up. And he hung up. The best part is, hey, the last time we used that on the guy about half an hour ago, he called back to apologize to Scotty for his phone breaking up. We completely fooled him with that sound effect. All right, there you go. Here's Tim Riley at the city desk.
Meanwhile, dangerous amounts of lead have been found in toys given to children at least 25 Oregon Lottery libraries. This could be Al-Qaeda inspired.
Yeah, you know.
Bendable dogs and cats, each about 4 inches long, were given as part of a summer reading program incentive. Read this book and die, kids. Public health officials at the Oregon Department of Health Services say the toys pose a potential health hazard.
Toys made out of lead.
Those kids will be taken behind a screen and quizzed to find out exactly where they came from.
Those are fantastic. My dad had toys made out of lead when he was a kid. Because my grandfather was a metal worker, and so he would... And I'm unclear about whether at the time they knew it was dangerous, whether my grandfather just didn't care, was trying to kill my dad. Maybe my grandfather just realized the kids were a bad idea and was just trying to get rid of them. But he would come home and he would melt down lead and pour it into a mold. I've actually seen some. They're kind of cool looking, actually. He would melt down lead and pour it into a mold and make little metal figurines, you know, for my dad, like little army guys and whatever. And they were all made out of lead, which, of course... I believe if you, I don't even think you have to eat it. I believe if you handle lead enough, it soaks into your skin and kills you.
Absolutely. Children who chewed on these or sucked on these toys should see a doctor for a blood test.
Yeah, get right on that, kids. All the kids who are listening. So there you go. Here's, by the way, you want to talk about a little passive eugenics? My brother-in-law, Lance, former brother-in-law, Lance, no longer my brother-in-law. It's my sister dumped him and decided to move upward by marrying a Canadian who sits around.
That's a better country.
Yeah. So But my brother-in-law Lance, this is how he, this is a completely true story. This is how he used to amuse himself when he was a kid. He and his brother, whose name was, you know, whatever, Goofus, so they had a small coffee can in the backyard, and in the coffee can was just about, it was filled 2 inches deep with mercury. You know, like what's, you know, it's inside a thermometer. Now, mercury, also known as quicksilver, is kind of cool. Have you ever poured out mercury and it's kind of races around and it's all very, here's the other thing. It also soaks into the palms of your hands and kills you. And so that was their fun, but, which, he apparently survived it somehow, but that was their fun time. They would just go in the backyard with a can full of mercury and just pour it into their hands and toss it back and forth at each other. So there you go. That's fun Kennewick style, kids. Here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, a Navy sailor who grew up in Salem is accused of spying for the Russians. He could face a death penalty. Navy Petty Officer 3rd Class Ariel Weinman, who's 21, apparently is being held at the Naval Brig in Norfolk, Virginia for possible court-martial. He was successful in giving classified information to an undisclosed foreign government, the Russians, before he destroyed his computer. The classified information was described as relating to the national defense of the United States of America, placing us all in jeopardy.
We really should just have a you're all going to die watch. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Meanwhile, an extra digit helped police finger the man earlier this week in Salem, accused of a crime. Officers responded Tuesday to suspicious activity and searched the house and reportedly turned up 16.5 grams of methamphetamine, heroin residue, scales, packaging materials, and other materials. Bruce Lane Parker and Sarianna Bacon were arrested on several charges. When questioned by police, a third suspect allegedly used his brother's name and birth date, but a check of the brother's criminal history revealed he had just 9 fingers. The man in custody had 10. When confronted about the extra finger, 46-year-old Kenneth Shannon McPherson gave his true identity. He's been arrested on several charges, including 4 warrants of previous drug charges.
That's fantastic. That's how you know a story's going to be great, when it contains the phrase, when confronted about the extra finger. Also, speaking of methamphetamine and how we're all going to die, let me tell this story. This was actually part of my, this is on the Matrix. Before all the unpleasantness erupted at the beginning of the show today about all the CNN correspondence, I was going to be mentioning this. So here's 2 things that have happened to my neighbor, literally in front of my house. And I believe I can tell the story now because I think that one of them has been taken care of, so it no longer could be used to identify exactly where I live. So 2 days ago, I was sitting in my living room, and I've grown used to police cars just sort of whizzing through my neighborhood with their lights on. Like, I just don't even, it's like a ticking of an alarm clock next to your bed. After a while, you don't even notice it anymore. So police cars will be roaring through, you know, my neck of the woods and down my street all the time. I don't even notice it. 2 days ago, though, a fire truck, not actually, that is 2 fire trucks, parked in front of my house. And I still don't know what it was about, actually. Tim, you're a slumlord. You might know this. It was at 2 full-on big-ass fire trucks parked in front of my house, sirens off, lights off, not moving. They weren't actually putting out a fire. But one was parked right in front of my house, which is always unnerving, by the way, when you see a fire truck pull up and park in front of your house, like 10 feet from your door. Fire truck in front of my house, fire truck in front of my neighbor's house, and then 2 fire dudes, like in a full-on Dennis Leary, like Rescue Me outfit, with axes, slowly walking up and down the street doing nothing. No idea what that's about. I have no idea why. Because there is that thing where, like, no matter what you call 911 for, they send fire trucks.
Uh-huh.
Like, if you just call, like, I have a tingly sensation in my leg, and it's like, they'll send the fire truck there, and the guy with the oxygen mask. I don't know why. But firemen with axes walking up and down the street in front of my house at about, 5, 6, 7 in the evening. Here's what happens last night. Last night, I go out to take my dog for a walk, and sure, you know my house. I sort of share my house with another house that's sort of right next door. People think it's a duplex, but it is not.
Sure, it's not. Do you share a wall?
I don't share a wall. We've had this conversation before. It only appears that I share a wall. There is a space between my house and the house next door.
With a wall?
It's not connected with a wall. It's not connected with anything. I don't live in a duplex.
Can you walk through the space between your houses?
I suppose you could, theoretically. There's a little passageway there. It is not. They were 2 houses that, for the love of God.
Share a roof?
No, yes, but that doesn't make it a duplex.
That connects it.
It doesn't, but okay, but it,
okay,
a
are
duplex
you saying
has a wall.
Twins aren't Siamese if just their shoulders are connected?
Connected with the hair. Have twins ever been connected to the hair? That would be badass. I don't even know how that would happen.
It's not possible. Is it?
I don't know.
I'm not going to make some scientific proclamation. I have no idea.
I guess if you were connected by the hair, I guess you wouldn't be, I guess they just cut it and it wouldn't be connected anymore. I can't believe we just wasted 30 seconds thinking about that. Hello. Sarah's a college graduate. Okay.
Oh my God.
Okay. Somebody make a note of that and put that in an amusing film someday. These are people calling to tell us how dumb we are. My point, though, is this. You've seen how I live. You've seen how my house is. There's two houses. And then there's not a lawn, but like a big sort of flower bed, shrubbery patch or whatever in front of our houses.
Yes.
So I walk out yesterday, around 10 or 11 o'clock at night, right after V for Vendetta. We walk out front, and just sitting in the flower patch in front of our houses is a sofa. Just sitting there. A full-on freaking sofa just sitting there for no reason. This morning, in addition to the sofa, armchair just sitting there. There's a sofa and I think they're gone now. That my wife told me that she looked outside and they had moved, but I'm out there walking my dog and there's a sofa and an armchair just sitting. And again, this is not on a lawn, this is not on the sidewalk, this is, I mean, it's like a garden. It's like I have my house, and then there's a garden area where there are, you know, flowers and plants and whatever, and then it slopes down, and then there's the sidewalk. Sitting in the garden, and not in like a cleared out area where there's just dirt, not in an area where the plants have been gotten rid of so you might put it there to enjoy the sun. Literally like sitting in the middle of a pile of weeds and shrubs is a chair and a sofa, just sitting there. No real reason. So there you go. That's...
Well, the trend is for more outdoor living spaces.
sort of a low-budget sunroom.
Yes.
Jessica, hello. How are you?
Hello. I'm fine. How are you?
Please tell me you're not calling to talk about twins connected at the hair.
I am calling to talk about twins connected at the hair.
Hello.
I'm your biochemist friend. That's what I do.
Oh, that's right. And you look like Allison Hannigan.
I do.
Zing. All right. Tell me I don't remember stuff. I remember what matters. I don't remember anything they taught me in school. I don't really remember how to dress myself or bathe regularly, but I remember what you look like. Okay, what do you got?
Well, it is theoretically impossible for twins to be connected at the hair because hair is dead skin cells that have been shed by the scalp. Where some babies are born with fully formed heads of hair, they're freaks and the hair falls out, you know, normally after birth.
Okay, so baby Suri would be a good example of this because supposedly, in addition to being regulation size, it has a full head of black hair.
Yeah, that's kind of...
You are speculating that is false. You do not believe that case.
That the babies are born with full heads of hair?
Well, that's what they claim. Who was it that said
that?
No,
well, it's been a few months now, so maybe it sprouted the hair.
Sprouted.
But, you know, I have a picture.
It is possible for the babies to be born with full heads of hair, mm-hmm. but the hair normally falls out because it's dead skin cells, and they're regenerating hair after they are born.
All right. Okay.
I have a really blurry picture, the first picture of baby Suri.
It does look
like it has darkish hair.
You don't even want to know this photograph. Is it on your webpage?
It is.
You go to sarahxdillon.com.
It's the worst thing ever, but I can't not post it.
I'm just saying it's the most ludicrous. And look, I'm not trying to cast aspersions. You told me you had it, and I'm like, walked right over to the... I got to see it. Walked right over to the computer to look at this picture of Suri. It really is a Clyde Lewis-esque photo. It really is,
but
like when
creepy.
Someone...
It's the floating head of Katie Holmes, like, in the picture, too.
So it's like when someone points at, like, a... like a ripple that's like 100 miles away in Loch Ness, you know, at night, somewhere under the moonlight. And look, it's Nessie. You know, that's exactly what this photograph of baby Suri is.
The child of 12 and Katie is going to be a freak of nature. So, of course, it's got a full head of hair.
It's true, and a tail. All right. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. Connected at the hair. Alexander, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
That whole thing with the Siamese twin caught together by the hair.
Yeah.
Funniest damn thing you guys have ever said on air.
Well, you know, and the sad thing about that is that wasn't one of our jokes that we prepared ahead of time, wasn't a bit that we worked on. That was an actual thought that occurred to me as a scientific possibility. And
that's what made it funny.
This is my blatant stupidity. This is my complete and utter lack of scientific knowledge.
The best humor in the world is the accidental humor that was not meant to be.
Not unlike when a cripple falls down some stairs.
Exactly. That's hilarious. There we go.
All right, thank you. Bye. All right, we're losing your call. Thank you, sir.
Phillips brakes are actually ahead for once.
Okay. It's 503-733-2970. We come back. We've got John here.
And more on the way. It's 503-733-2970. Coming up, CNN radio correspondent Gary Baumgarten. Later on, Jim Roop, who will talk about Robin Williams and 30,000 gallons of raw sewage. Don't go anywhere. Top five on the way. More from Tim Riley at the City Desk. It's the worst song you've ever heard. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Solid State Radio.